Trump was basically kicked off the ballot in Colorado as a result of the Democrats in Colorado and its Supreme Court specifically. Let me bring you up to date on what's going on out here in these streets, y'all.
Just getting that breaking news about the Colorado State Supreme Court saying, based on the 14th Amendment and former President Trump's actions during January 6th, that he is not allowed to be on the ballot in Colorado. Just receiving word from the Trump campaign, a reaction to this ruling. Quote, unsurprisingly, the all-Democrat-appointed Colorado Supreme Court has ruled against President Trump, supporting a Soros-funded left-wing group scheme to interfere in an election on behalf of crooked Joe Biden by removing President Trump's name from the ballot and eliminating the rights of Colorado voters to vote for the candidate of their choice. Democrat Party leaders are in a state of paranoia over the growing dominant lead President Trump has amassed in the polls. They've lost faith in the failed Biden presidency and are now doing everything they can to stop the American voters from throwing them out of office next November. The Colorado Supreme Court issued a completely flawed decision tonight. We will swiftly file an appeal to the United States Supreme Court and a concurrent request for a stay of this deeply undemocratic decision. We have full confidence that the Supreme Court will quickly rule in our favor and finally put an end to these un-American lawsuits. Again, that's from a Trump campaign spokesperson.
So basically what they've done is the Colorado Supreme Court worked hand in hand with Democrats to disqualify Trump from the state's ballot in 2024. They declared him ineligible to hold office again under the U.S. Constitution's insurrection clause. Never heard of an insurrection clause. In a historic decision, the justices ordered that he be removed from the state's presidential primary ballot after determining that he engaged in insurrection on January 6, 2021. The ruling sets up a likely showdown in the nation's highest court to settle whether the January 6th attack on the Capitol amounted to insurrection and whether Trump's involvement disqualifies him from running for office. The decision 4-3 by the Colorado Supreme Court marks the first time a presidential candidate has been deemed unqualified for office under a rarely used provision that bars insurrectionists from holding office. A majority of the court holds that Trump is disqualified from holding the office of president under Section C of the 14th Amendment. The court, whose justices were all appointed by Democratic governors, wrote in its ruling, goes on to say Trump has vowed to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. His campaign said, we have full confidence that the U.S. Supreme Court will quickly rule in favor and finally put an end to these un-American lawsuits, said Stephen Chung, a Trump campaign spokesperson. So long story short, they've decided to basically throw a Hail Mary, as some people will say inside of the chat. They threw a Hail Mary, and listen. I think it's undemocratic to leverage the things that we see happening and every tool in your favor to modify it in order to try to remove an option for the people to choose. I don't like the fact that people choose the way that they choose in a lot of these Democratic cities. The Brandon Johnsons, the Los Angeles lady, I forgot what her name was, over there in Atlanta. Houston finally got it right, but they didn't even turn up because they got over 2 million people and they had less than an 8% voter turnout rate. But the thing that you can't do, the most un-American thing that you can do, is to remove the option. The freedom of speech, the freedom to choose. It's completely un-American. Listen, if we get a bad president, then I'll just do a live stream saying that I don't necessarily care about what it is that they're doing, or I'll give them credit when they decide to do something right. But one thing is for sure, and two things, Karen Bass, that's her name. Thank you, Tanisha and Iceberg Slim. One thing is for sure, and two things is for certain, is that I do not agree with the idea that you should be able to remove somebody from being able to choose as an option, as a way to try to finesse the election in your favor. That is absolutely disrespectful. If you beat me, you just beat me. If you better than me, then you just better than me. But don't finesse me. Don't finesse me. But conversely, Vivek, who I am strongly, I am really, really, really liking this guy. And I'm saving clips from him to review probably this Friday or over the weekend. But Vivek said that he stands with Trump. This is what he said.
They have just tried to bar President Trump from the Colorado ballot using an unconstitutional maneuver that is a bastardization of the 14th Amendment to our U.S. Constitution. This was a provision, Section 3, that was designed to bar Confederate members, people who switched to the Confederacy, from actually being able to serve. That's very different than what's at issue here, to say the least. This is a hollowed-out husk of what the country was built on. The basic principle that we, the people, select our leadership, not the unelected elite class in the back of palace halls. That's old world Europe, not the United States. That's why I'm making a pledge today that I will withdraw. I pledge to withdraw from the Colorado GOP primary ballot unless and until Trump's name is restored. And I demand that Ron DeSantis and Chris Christie and Nikki Haley do the same thing, or else these Republicans are simply complicit in this unconstitutional attack on the way we conduct our constitutional republic. I refuse to be complicit in that. I think what they're doing is wrong. And I think it's up to Republicans to step up and stand up with a spine for our country's future. That's really what's at stake. Whether we, the people, actually have a say in deciding who leads this country. Yes, it would be easier for other Republicans like me who are running in this race to say, hey, if Trump is sidelined, there's our opportunity. No doubt other candidates are probably privately celebrating with their corporate sponsors. That's not the right thing to do. I think the most useful thing that every GOP candidate can do right now is to join me in that pledge. I'll say that I will withdraw from that Colorado GOP primary ballot until Trump's name is restored. This belongs to the people, not to the unelected Democratic cabal of judges in Colorado or any other state. And I demand that Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley and Chris Christie do the same thing, or else they're complicit in what this security state is trying to do to shut down Trump.
So Vivek basically said that, yes, Andre, he said he's standing on business and he's willing to withdraw his name from it and we should stand in solidarity. And I agree with him. And I actually like his way. I like the way that he's playing chess and putting pressure on other Republican candidates. And more importantly, I would do so if I was actually, you know what, why should the Democrats do it when they're the ones that it seems as though the ones that are at the forefront of trying to finesse this election in a favor? Is it really winning? Is it really maintaining power if you're finessing your way into it? Can't you just beat the boys fair and square? We got all of these lawsuits. We got the Colorado Supreme Court finessing. We got everybody just doing everything in their power in order to try to put themselves in a position of power. And I've never wanted to win like that. I've always wanted to win, not by any means necessary, but I want you to understand that I beat you fair and square. And I'm starting to like Vivek. I like the idea that he doesn't want to stand with this undemocratic, unconstitutional process that's being leveraged. They're finessing a law to make it mean something completely different so that they can remove his name from the ballot. And this has never happened in history. And it shows fear. It shows that they're scared. And it shows that they're not really in favor of allowing the people to determine for themselves who their leader should be. And that's completely un-American and it's not democratic. And so I'm actually liking this guy every single day. I don't think that he's missed once. From when I first discovered him, when he was waxing everybody on the Breakfast Club, this guy has not missed at all, has not missed. So if Trump wasn't the person that was at the forefront of the movement, then I would definitely be considering him. And maybe he can become the vice president. I don't know. But last but not least, Marvel seems to be reeling, absolutely reeling. Let me bring y'all back up to date for the people that has not been tuned in to what's happening to Jonathan Majors as a result of him being found guilty. But let me bring y'all up to speed of what's happening out here in these streets, man.
More fallout for Jonathan Majors after his misdemeanor assault conviction. Marvel says it will no longer work with him after a jury found the actor guilty of attacking his ex-girlfriend in March. He could face up to 1 year in jail. Jerika Duncan was in the courtroom for the verdict. Jerika, good morning.
Jonathan Majors stood up very stoically, looked at the jurors as they read that first count, which was not guilty. But what followed was ultimately charges that led to him being found guilty on two counts.
It took the jury roughly 6 hours to find actor Jonathan Majors guilty of assaulting and harassing his ex-girlfriend Grace Jabari. But Majors was found not guilty on the most severe charge, third-degree assault with intent to injure, and acquitted on count three, aggravated harassment.
You know, the interesting thing about this also is that they use the classic tactic that they use on most men. Do you know what that tactic was? They add a bunch of other charges and trump them up. And I think that the prosecutors said, we're going to trump up a bunch of other charges and so that you can find some common ground in the middle. So we're going to acquit him of the most severe charges, and we can't just let him skate away on everything and say that he's completely clear. And so usually what happens to men when they find themselves in difficult situations is you get a whole lot of other charges, and they're incentivizing you to either plea, or if you're going to go to trial, the results are going to be a lot more dire. But more importantly, Marvel is absolutely reeling, and they had so much riding on Jonathan Majors. They've even had fans petitioning and asking, hey, is there other people that's going to replace him? For example, John Boyega, who was the guy that played in Star Wars, they asked him, and he said that he's not even interested in replacing Jonathan Majors as Kang in the Marvel series. It says that Marvel Studios and the Walt Disney Company dropped Majors from all future projects following the actor's conviction for assault and harassment on Monday, according to a person close to the studio who spoke on condition of not being told who it is that's talking because he wasn't authorized to speak publicly on the matter. The swift move by Disney marked a stunning about face for an actor who had been one of Hollywood's fastest rising stars. Went on to say Majors, who was acquitted of a different assault charge and aggravated harassment, will be sentenced February 6th. He declined a comment, but it went on to say that as a superhero studio prepared to release Phase 5 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it cast the highly acclaimed Majors as the antagonist Kang, the Conqueror. The character was to span several different films and series as the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Nexus phase answer to Thanos. Majors had already appeared in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania in the first two seasons of Loki. He was the star in the Avengers The Kang Dynasty, dated to be released May 2026. The future of the Kang Dynasty is now unclear as Disney declined to comment on whether they will recast the role or pivot in a completely new direction. It said the studio had been preparing for the possibility of Majors' exit from the franchise, but Marvel was limited in its ability to fashion rewrites due to the screenwriter strike that ran from May to late September, and the studio recently hired screenwriter Michael Waldron to rework the Kang Dynasty. For Marvel, Majors' departure adds to several recent setbacks, though its box office success, nearly $30 billion worldwide with 33 films, is unsurpassed in movie history. The superhero factory has recently seen some atypical struggles. The Marvels, which was an all-women movie, released in November, has been the MCU's biggest, worst performer in theaters with $204 million worldwide, although it cost them hundreds of millions of dollars to make. So Marvel is reeling. Me personally, I decided to completely remove myself from ever supporting Disney or Marvel. I do not watch ESPN. I will not be getting Hulu. I do not have the Disney Plus app. And anything that I see Disney related, whether it be a toy or a movie or an app or some subsidiary, I will not be supporting it, because the best way for us to determine how it is that we want to move or to show these companies that you can't just operate based off of mob rules is to remove ourselves financially, even from an investment perspective, to remove ourselves from financially supporting these places. So as Disney continue to torpedo its own business, I think that is disrespectful for what happened to Jonathan Majors. And more importantly, not just supporting Jonathan Majors, but just supporting men in general. I think that the country is going in the wrong direction, and we need to course correct by withholding our dollars and determining that we're not going to support these companies that don't support what it is that we stand for. All right. So that was your quick hits, ladies and gentlemen.